Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We've got Kyle Gilmore now, Port Nola Director of Real Estate. Kyle, welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning. Thank you for having me.
You know, Kyle, I've really enjoyed talking with you folks from the Port, especially because in many sense we've made this educational about all that the Port is responsible for, and we'll do some more of that today. You manage the real estate. I don't think people really understand the scale of the Port, so let's start there. Can you give us, you know, a sense of the scale?
Sure, and I think it's interesting that you ask that question. Whenever I tell folks I'm the director of real estate at the Port, they sort of look at me a little shocked because they don't understand what the Port owns as far as real estate assets. So I think most people think of the extent of the Port's property as what we refer to as the terminal, which is uptown in New Orleans, essentially between, you know, the Walmart on Chapultepec and Children's Hospital uptown. But the Port is actually one of the larger landholders in the area. So we have a diverse portfolio of properties across Orleans, Jefferson, and St. Bernard Parish, totaling about 2,500 acres. So in addition to the terminal, we control a majority of the property along the Industrial Canal. So, you know, whenever you travel over the high rise, if you look left or right, you'll see our properties and the operations that are taking place there. We have, you know, some aggregate storage, some cement transloading, cold storage. It's a very diverse group of companies. Additionally, the Port has property along the Gulf Intercoastal Waterway. We have industrial warehouse space in Elmwood and riverfront property, not on the terminal, that's used for both landside and waterside activities. And last but not least, we also manage property owned by the New Orleans Public Belt. They have property here in Orleans and in Jefferson Parish as well. And the connection to the public belt allows our property to be the essentially the front door to the gateway, which opens up the rest of the country by having our rail service connected to all six of the Class I railways, something that no other port in the country can claim. So there's definitely plenty to keep us business here on the real estate side of things.
Yeah, and I guess the beauty from an operational perspective of having control over the rail is it's totally within your purview and control, so you get to set the pace and everything else. You're not having to rely on a third party, right?
Correct. So, you know, we have the New Orleans Public Belt was acquired by the Port in 2018 with a deal from the City of New Orleans. They got some property from us, and we took over the railroad. But, yeah, it, along with the actual railroad comes that expertise, you know, and those connections to the rail lines. So it allows us the option to offer our tenants or our partners the opportunity to use the rail line. You know, when we have properties that one of our tenants or our operators want to expand into the rail space, we have that expertise on hand that can help them plan that out logistically as well as on the engineering side to make sure that those plans make sense for their operations.
So when we talk about each of these individual areas, like in the industrial real estate, why is that such an important part of the Port's overall mission?
Yeah, so the Port's mission, as you mentioned, is essentially to facilitate the movement of cargo in an effort to improve the economic well-being of the region. So that's the main goal of the Port. And I think one thing that is important for folks that are listening to understand is that the Port of New Orleans is what we're calling a landlord port as opposed to an operating port. So as in any traditional real estate transaction, the Port's properties are leased to tenants, and those leases are governed by leases, obviously. However, port tenants are all companies who contribute in some way to the movement of cargo. So the men and women that come to work at the port on a daily basis to move, unload, ship and store cargo are not actually employees of the port. So they're employed by our port tenants. So not only are the industrial real estate leases generating revenue for the port, they also facilitate the opportunity for auxiliary businesses and services that employ a lot of folks in the state and beyond. I believe it's generally accepted that approximately 1 in 20 jobs in the state are connected in some way to the Port of New Orleans and the cargo that is moved through the gateway. So the industrial real estate really provides a foundation for a lot of the economic impact that happens through the port.
Yeah. Now, we've talked on this show and about the LIT project in the Louisiana International Terminal. Mm-hmm. The port actually owns property in St. Bernard, right? And are those properties going to be utilized for purposes of the LIT?
Yeah, so we have about 1,100 acres of property down in St. Bernard Parish. As I'm sure your listeners know that the Louisiana International Terminal Project is a large container port that we're planning on building down there. The container port itself is not going to utilize the entire 1,100 acres. It'll use about 400 of those 1,100 acres, so there'll be several hundred acres left over for planning of additional services that may be used by our tenants or our operators. Things like containerized cargo, transloading, transshipping, things like that, and as well as like distribution warehouses, anything that's going to go along with the container operations that are going to be on that facility.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And why this is relevant, all of this, is because we need to stay competitive. Others are improving upon their port facilities, dock facilities, cranes, and, you know, moving everything along. Obviously, I guess with the onslaught of AI, mm-hmm. Even faster changes along that path, right?
Yeah, so certainly. So, you know, our competitors in Texas and Alabama, they're receiving a lot of investment in their port facilities. I think the one thing that hinders us here in at the Port of New Orleans is there's a physical constraint that, you know, most people don't face, and it's the Mississippi River Bridge. So as containerized cargo, which is the preferred method these days, becomes more pervasive throughout the industry, shippers are adapting and building larger vessels to carry more containers, but unfortunately those newer vessels just are unable to pass beneath the bridge, which means those vessels and all the cargo that's heading this way is now being diverted to other places, so they're skipping New Orleans. So it's critical that we develop the Louisiana International Terminal in order to just stay competitive in the market.
Now, you talked earlier about how a lot of third parties are the ones that are actually operating certain functions and alike on port property. Mm-hmm. I have to imagine that y'all do have openings at points in time, and are there any type of tenants that you're proactively looking for?
Yeah, so we're constantly getting calls from people interested in port property. We do have, you know, a lot of property that is available if people are interested. We'll listen to anybody, and I think it's important to note, you know, we're a state agency. While we are the Port of New Orleans, there are multiple other ports in the area, in the southern Mississippi River area. So, you know, we want to improve the economy for the entire state, not just the Port of New Orleans. So if somebody comes to us with an idea that doesn't really make sense for the Port of New Orleans, we always direct them to one of our partners. But the type of tenants we're most interested in seeing at the port are 3PLs, which are third-party logistic companies, that are focused on repackaging and transloading. And I think we're well positioned for groups that focus on fresh cold storage, like fruits, vegetables, even flowers. We do a lot of work with bulk liquid importers and exporters and some light manufacturing. So most of these services already exist in the area, but they're limited. So whenever we get new players in the market, we're always interested in hearing what they bring to the market to make more services available to our partners.
Now, going back to something that you said before, relative to the public belt and having control over those linkages to six tier one rail services, I believe. For the benefit of listening audience, describe why that is so important to this port.
Yeah, so there are six Class One railroads that span the entire country and into Canada. The big names we've all heard of: Norfolk Southern, Union Pacific, et cetera. Our connectivity to all six of those Class One railroads allows the port to offer those services to our tenants and partners to move cargo from New Orleans to anywhere in the country in one step. It cuts down on costs and makes the process more efficient. So instead of having to unload it from a vessel, put it on a truck, send it somewhere, put it on a rail, et cetera, they can literally take it from a vessel here in the Mississippi River, put it on a rail, and ship it to anywhere else in the country or beyond. And from a real estate standpoint, as I mentioned earlier, we have an advantage because not only do we have the connectivity, we also have that expertise in-house. For example, we're working with one of our tenants now, Continental Cement, who deals in bulk cement. They see more opportunity in their line of business, so they're adding new rail lines to their site, which will allow them to capture more of a market because they're expanding their services not just through trucks but through rail. So they're able to get more accounts in different areas because they now have that rail connectivity. So it provides just another service that the port can offer its tenants, where those, you know, the ability to use all six Class One railroads just doesn't exist in any other port.
Yeah. So when you look at all of the port operations, both this industrial real estate that you're managing and all of the logistics, the warehousing, do you see any like significant trends emerging that are going to be, you know, something that are transformational for the port?
Well, we're in volatile times as far as international shipping is concerned. One of the things we do a lot of is cold storage. A lot of poultry moves through the Port of New Orleans and goes out to South America and West Africa. Unfortunately, we're seeing that market cool off a little bit, no pun intended, but there's still a demand for fresh cold storage, as I mentioned earlier. So we're seeing that as something we can capitalize on. A lot of the fruits, vegetables, and flowers that we'd like to capture are grown in Central and South America, and our positioning adjacent to that area makes us a really good choice for that. Once the LIT is up and running, we're expecting to see a huge demand for warehouse space. You know, we're expecting probably about 15 million square feet of warehouse spaces being needed in Orleans, St. Bernard, and St. Tammany Parish over the next 10 years, with an emphasis on rail-served properties, so that, you know, the rail keeps popping into all these conversations. We don't really foresee e-commerce slowing down, so that's something we're interested in as far as distribution centers are concerned. And we're keeping an eye on some of these things like same-day delivery and some of these new delivery methods via, you know, drones and robots and what that means for our business moving forward. So all in all, we're keeping an eye on things, but, you know, everything seems to be trending upward as far as warehousing, logistics, and cold storage are concerned. So we're excited about all that.
Absolutely. Exciting times for the Port of New Orleans. Kyle Gilmore, thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate backfilling a lot of the magnitude of the port, which is 2,500 acres of prime industrial real estate is absolutely incredible. Best of luck to you, and have a great weekend.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. That's Kyle Gilmore, Port NOLA, Director of Real Estate. We'll be right back, folks. And when we do, we'll check in with Patrick Button, Associate Professor of Economics at Tulane University. Can taxing the rich fix the budget deficit in the U.S.? We'll tackle that question and more when we return. Stay with us.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.